there's a language in the text which I find helpful. I didn't understand it at first. They use words like non-greed. I've been using them. Non-greed, non-hatred, non-delusion, non-confusion. And I find that an interesting one to bring up, because also the teachings talk about compassion, generosity, wisdom, clarity. But words like non-greed, non-hatred, non-delusion are a way of approaching the mind which is very relaxed, for me at least. And one of the problems of institutionalized religion, or maybe religion as we were taught it as children, is the should be. So you should be grateful. You know, it's beautiful out there. You should be grateful. And you should be wise, and you should be compassionate, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and you should enjoy the retreat, and don't complain to me. So it's a way of controlling people. But it doesn't really make you happy if you just try to be grateful out of some kind of compulsion or guilt trip. This doesn't work. Whereas recollection, like bringing up something like, what does gratitude feel like, isn't thou shalt be grateful. It's so grateful. Gratefulness feels this way. You see the difference. So when we meditate, oftentimes what we bring to our zafu is, I should be doing this, or I ought to be achieving this, or I shouldn't be thinking this way, I shouldn't be experiencing the meditation this way, whatever it might be. And so then the effort we make is from trying to not be what we are, or trying to become something that we're not, which is actually the opposite of Buddhism. So if you put in what I find, at least, if I put in language like non-greed, and then I really contemplate what that feels like in all its aspects, especially around the aspects I should or I shouldn't, non-greed, and not just kind of greed for whatever, but just a whole sense of needing something else, non-greed, non-aversion, and you get a sense of that, non-aversion, acceptance, and then non-confusion, just presence. And I've been suggesting this and establishing that as a standard, ease of mind. And then seeing, well, what upsets that, let's say. How does imbalance, or how does contraction, or how does conflict or tenseness, how does that come within that balanced mind? So it's like I come to the state of freedom right away, but I'm trying to find freedom tomorrow when I've gotten rid of all the little bits and pieces I shouldn't be. And then trying to apply that to just the negative states of mind that come up. So it's not the negative states of mind that are the problem, it's the greed not to have them, the aversion to them. And so the simple language, this is the way it is now. Life feels this way now. And it, how else could life feel? You could say it's just a tautology. You know? But as an emotive way of being with the way things are, it's a good, I think it's a skillful use of language. For me, it is. So you might just, if you can just get to that standard, just get to that and say, that's it. And just say, oh, great, that's it. Nothing else to do. But whatever anyone says, you say, well, I have to get to the standard. And no matter what you say, it's, you know, it's just the nature of the mind to be dissatisfied. So again, it's just a suggestion, how can you come to that? These are the suggestions I use. So all that kind of language helps me, because I am quite kind of goal-oriented guy. Got a lot of sort of that kind of drive, so I need to apply that. If I was just to kind of just sort of hang out and smoke dope all day, then maybe a bit more oomph would be helpful, but that's not something that I really needed. I needed more this kind of openness. And within that context, then you get the meditations around space are quite interesting. Because if you kind of get the image that say awareness is space, Can you use that image? So that the objects in space are not important, it's the space that's important. And the way that's taught is if you have this room, there are objects, people, faces, there are qualities, colors, brightness, darkness, whatever, and there's space. And space is, you only notice it if you take your attention away from objects. So how would you notice the space here? Well, you kind of have to relax, don't you? And the space outside is the same as the space inside, and the space in the mind is also the same. And then there are the objects that come and go, the bodily feelings, the sensations, the memories, the shoulds and shouldn'ts, and all that those things, and then there's the space. So many people kind of like that, where you just relax into the spaciousness of the mind, or just into space. Now that's not the same as getting spaced out. Spaced out, not quite sure how that, but it's like not really being present. So there has to be presence within that. But then there's a relaxing of attention away from this struggle with objects. So some people, they like to choose an object and really kind of use the object like the body, the breath, something as a post. And use a post to just get the stability of attention. And then they like to let go of that and just get a sense of just spaciousness. So then the language has to come in, non-becoming, non-aversion, non-greed, like non-confusion, and just a sense of being open. Now, if you're really dull and sleepy, that probably wouldn't work. You need to maybe put a bit of oomph in there to get the spine up and so on. So it depends on your energy. And one of the things that helps to indicate that space is what Ajahn Sumedho teaches a lot, is this sound of this nada in the back, kind of cicadas ringing sound of that kind of sound you sometimes notice. And that can be, for some people, annoying. But for some people, they find it, if they just allow their mind to relax into that, it's sort of synonymous with space. It's going to relax into that. And there's just the hearing. But it's not like you're clutching an object. It's just like relaxing into hearing. And hearing or listening is a good metaphor for that kind of spacious awareness. Listening. Seeing... is also used as synonymous with awareness, but sometimes seeing does have, I'm trying to see something, trying to find something, and it's kind of up there. So sometimes we use seeing, sometimes we use hearing, sometimes we use awareness, but the metaphor of listening, say, is quite interesting, because it has a kind of relaxed, for me, it has a kind of relaxed quality. And if you contemplate the second noble truth, the abandonment of craving, okay? So how could I do that moment by moment? Right? So if I could just get to the sense of non-greed, non-hatred, and then just to hold that space of openness. And then things come and go, they come and go, memories come and go. Then you have a more refined equanimity. When I spoke about equanimity the other night, I was talking to some pretty coarse stuff that I was dealing with throughout my enlightenment career, whatever I'm doing here. but it could get more refined than that. So then the refinement of equanimity and peacefulness is where the stream of consciousness, the flow of consciousness, the hooks don't get you. And then there's a flow there. But there isn't a need for the quality of the flow to be a particular way. And that's, of course, more refined. But just to getting to that sense of this whole thing about our nature, I should be this and I shouldn't be that. You know, that's very, in some social sense, yeah, I shouldn't rob banks and pillage and do things like that. I mean, that's a good idea. That's social dharma, but at stream of consciousness dharma, which is what we're practicing now, can we get to a state of non-becoming, non-desire? And when we talk about that in stream of consciousness, sometimes people then begin to speculate on social dharma. well, if there's no desire, you know, who's going to brush my teeth? And, you know, and you kind of go off into speculative things about social dharma, but that's not it. That's another realm of contemplation, because there is appropriate desire, there's inappropriate desire. There's nothing wrong with, you know, you have to understand desire. But say just in flow of consciousness, as an exercise of mindfulness and kind of contemplating how you do apply effort, and maybe how, if the mind is judgmental or very trying to become something and get rid of something, seeing all that, and then how can I relax away from that particular pattern? A particular pattern of which would be wrong effort, and then you're really working with the ingrained patterns of your own psyche, your own karma, as it were, because you're not just doing some kind of Buddhist thing. You're touching the nature of your being. I have suggested a few times, just to get a feeling for that. And if it's outside, say if you're outside and you're looking across the beautiful expanse of ice and snow, and just a sense of being. But be careful. What does he mean by being? Why does it become being? Probably better to say nothing sometimes. But I say something, earn my rights, right? But again, it's the use of language to fit your heart, not to fit some doctrinal principle. So it has to be right understanding, and then has to be one tries to introduce the language which would bring the state of the cessation of suffering or the cessation of craving. And that doesn't have to come at some, you know, end point down the line. It can come in a moment of just, this is the way it is now. Now, when you're sitting and the mind gets kidnapped by some kind of thoughts about the future, whatever, and then the crow calls or someone coughs, you wake up, don't you? Sometimes. I get this blank look. Oops. But something interrupts that delightful flow of prungdang that you're into. and then you wake up, and what happens then? Can you abide in non-desire, or is there stop thinking? Because that's the moment of non-desire, actually. You've woken up. So do you thank the crow and say, oh great, yeah, good? Or do you close down? And that's it's a subtle moment, but it's very important. Because if in that moment of awakening, because the crow or the pain in the knee or the person coughing or whatever brings you back to the moment. You're there. Nowhere to go. And then desire comes up again. Oh, I should be trying harder or whatever. And it's the desire you want to look at. So you want to be able to apply attention. That's for sure. You have to do that. And the attention might just be, just relax, be open. But the application of attention has to be from non-desire. And if in that moment of awakening, you can just get a sense, that's it, finished, nothing to do, then there's a kind of joy arises. This is it. So, what is it? We don't trust in it. It's just so simple that we don't tend to trust that. You know, we're so complex, I guess. Must be more than that. And then to abide in that trusting mind for a few days would be good. and just trust. And then leave it alone. Basically, leave it alone. Okay, so let's try all that.